Yeah.
Greg.
I told you I was busy. Yeah.
And also the North Texas Catholic Brothers for Christ as well. He's married, most importantly, married to Tanya Scheer Dieter for 35 years. They have two adult children, Heather and Derek. And Greg received a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Kansas State University and a master's from the University of Washington. And he has served on the board of advisors for Kansas State University and Collin College.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm worn out.
Well, thanks for the introduction. I appreciate that.
Yeah. So what got you involved with Legatus? And is this new for you? And tell us a little bit about what's going on.
It's new for me, yeah. I mean, Dave, when I retired, I decided that I wanted to stay busy. I wanted to stay connected. But I wanted to take the time that I didn't use for work to kind of further my Catholic faith. So I started, you know, joining some men's groups, trying to get myself kind of more educated on the Bible, more on our faith and such. So that was my post-work life that I did that. During my work life, I tried to do as much as I could, but on the road so much, it was basically a Sunday commitment, maybe on parish council, member of the Knights, those type of things. But post-retirement, I really just tried to get deeper into my faith. And as I started to run around and talk to people, you know, the name Legatus came up several different times. People that I would talk to, they say, are you a member of Legatus? And I didn't even know what it was. So I had to look it up, found it to be a very interesting organization. And I saw what the value was, but I really didn't even think about joining until I got contacted that said we were starting another chapter to try to connect the parishes in North Texas, right near where I live, Frisco, McKinney, Plano, Allen, those different places as such. So got engaged at that time and have really enjoyed it so far.
Well, you know, I was very well, they prepared me very well, Legatus did, for this interview and even, you know, questions, and it made it very easy on me. But they did send a little paragraph about Legatus, mm-hmm. So I'll read that, and then you can fill in some of the blanks about what it is. I said briefly a little bit about it, but Legatus is an international organization of lay executives whose mission is to study, live, and spread the Catholic faith in our business, professional, and personal lives. We are comprised of a growing network of CEOs, presidents, managing partners, and founders who aspire to be faithful ambassadors for Christ and lead as many other souls to heaven as possible. The name Tom Monahan is synonymous with Legatus because mm-hmm. he founded it. He's the guy that started Domino's Pizza. He used to own the Detroit Tigers. I actually interviewed him one time.
Did you
about
really?
Legatus.
Yeah, he's a very nice man. I met him a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, so. And I remember he told me that it was the of all the things that he did, I mean, he started a city.
Yeah.
He started a university.
A university,
a
yeah.
law school. I yeah. mean, Ave Maria. Of Florida. I mean,
a financial investment company as well, too, for yeah, Catholics as well.
Yeah, Ave Maria.
Mutual funds.
Yeah, there's so much.
Yeah, so much.
And so, but anyways, he told me one time that this was what he was the proudest of, is yeah. Legatus. And so it was an honor to meet him. And, but, so anyways, this is, I hate to use the word elite because it makes it sound very exclusive.
Yeah, I wouldn't do that either, to be honest with you.
Yeah, so who can be a member of Legatus?
Well, you know, so, and I think anybody can, but what they're trying to do, and I think, you know, growing up, you get a lot of opportunities like being with just the Knights, but that really is localized to your typical council and stuff. Like, mm-hmm. if you get involved at the state level or the national level, you might get a bigger and broader reach. But I think what Tom was trying to do in 1987, and I don't want to speak for him, but he realized that one of the challenges of running businesses where you have a lot of diversity is to try to share your Catholic message, and it's very difficult at times. I mean, at the Boeing Company, I had the opportunity to have a lot of conversations with people about values and virtues and that type of stuff, which was kind of foundational to my Catholic faith. But not being able to step over the edge talking about my Catholic faith to community was kind of difficult sometimes. And I wish I'd been around some Legatus leaders, because since that time, and I've listened to several Catholic leaders now talk at our monthly meetings about how they were really more bold in proclaiming their Catholic faith in the workplace, but not crossing the line.
Yeah.
So it was very interesting to me. And I think what Tom tried to do was he felt when he was running Domino's that you get really deep into just running the business. Of course, then once he sold it, then it was like, okay, what can I do for the church and the faith? And he started these two organizations. But he realized that having a mentor, a partner, a friend, somebody could call up and ask questions about saying, I'm having this difficult conversation. You know, how did you handle it? I think it's important. And it's just a different demographic. To your point, you were saying, he focused on like CEOs, presidents. I was a vice president at the Boeing company. That's not, title's not important. It's mm-hmm. responsibility and reach.
Yeah.
So I had like 4,000 employees on my last major jobs, and the ability to go around and talk to them and have conversations and be in the communities that we served. I think he was trying to make sure that Catholic leaders wouldn't just cower back in bringing our faith, not only to the business's experiences, but also our reach into the communities as well, too, making sure that they, everybody knew, not only is Tom Monahan the head of Domino's Pizza and the owner of the Detroit Tigers, but he's Catholic.
Yeah.
He cares about people. He's engaged in his community and he gives back.
Yeah. And I think about it. Yeah. I think you said 4,000 people were working for you as when you were VP of Boeing, and tremendous responsibility. I mean, 4,000 people are waking up in the morning and getting going off to work. And to some degree, you know, they are working for you, and you can influence a lot of people positively or negatively. And I guess that's what maybe Tom was intending, is that you might as well have these people at the top who are grounded in their faith because of the responsibility they have in a lot of other lives.
You know, even at the Boeing company, I could probably go back and look at the leaders that influenced me, and I know that they were all strong in their faith. They might not have been Catholic, but they brought their faith to their workplace. And foundationally, just, you know, said, okay, you know, let takes you through highs and lows, right? You know, if you have Christ in your life, you don't necessarily dwell on the lows. You know that there's a better time coming. You don't get too proud when it comes to your highs as well, too. You try to hold the humility that Christ held. And I think that's kind of what Tom's trying to get us to do. You could either just give that information to people, or you could connect them and put them in, you know, a place where they meet monthly. We have the ability to meet on a daily basis as well, too. So he's created, you know, applications and tools where we can get in chat rooms and ask questions. There's forums you can be a part of specifically to, I think, coach and mentor younger people. So like in our chapter, there's folks that are older than me, and there's folks that are younger than me inside there as well. So to share that knowledge and that experience, and when I look upward, I look at the wisdom that's there as well, too, to help me understand how to be a better retiree and a volunteer at church or a board member in a Catholic organization.
Yeah, it's, you know, I read the bio, and you were involved in a lot of things, and I would think, like, how could he even carve out any time to be involved in another group? But so why is this important? Why do you make time for this?
Well, like I said, when I retired, I got into the position of like local Bible studies and support in my parish. And I wanted to go a little bit beyond there, and I got asked to help with one of the North Texas Catholic Brothers for Christ conferences. They were going to hold it at our parish. So I joined the team and I helped them kind of organize that. But what I was finding out, it was just involving me. And I'm retired now, and I spent 34 years at the Boeing company, and my wife probably took the brunt of me being gone and doing stuff. I wanted to find something that we could do together. So Legatus affords us the opportunity to do kind of what I was doing with Catholic Brothers for Christ. I was able to meet parishioners and Catholics and, you know, from other areas. Now on Legatus, I can be Catholic couples that my wife and I can do things with and share times with. So now my wife's finding, you know, spouse friends like I found friends, and we're getting this connection. So now we have friends from Our Lady of Angels, St. Jude's, Prince of Peace, not just Frisco, you know. So it gives us the ability to see a broader reach just in North Texas. And then we're engaged with people from our region and then international as well, too. So there's opportunities to meet Catholics other places. So we spend some time in Colorado. We have the ability to join the Legatus group on their monthly meetings out there and meet a new set of couples. In fact, our speaker next week is a part of the Colorado Springs Legatus chapter. So he's coming to come speak to us next week. So that connection was important for me.
So what's a typical meeting like? You have a speaker. Is there mass?
We start with rosary. So we're meeting next Wednesday. We always meet middle Wednesday of the month. So we start with rosary. My wife and I are going to lead at this next mass. It's going to be at Prince of Peace. So we meet there, and then Father does a mass for us very specifically with the Legatus group. And then we usually find a restaurant somewhere, and we have a social hour, so you have the ability to talk to other people and get to know them. The other good news is they do a good job of making sure you sit at different tables every week, not just with people you know. So that they purposely try to get us to sit with other couples. And then we have a dinner. And after the dinner, we have a featured speaker. And those featured speakers, I mean, I've only been to now five sessions, but have been amazing. I mean, men and women that came in to talk about how, you know, they started businesses and how they use Catholic values to start their business. We had a young priest from Minnesota come in from, he grew up in North Dakota, but he's from Minnesota now. He came down to talk to us about his conversion story, basically how he came to the faith and how he became a priest. All these stories are just, you learn so much. So the meeting usually lasts 6:15, starts the rosary. We're done by 9. So it's about 3 hours a month at the most commitment time. But in that period, you get to talk to 40 other Catholics from around North Texas. So it's great.
And, you know, North Dallas and Collin County, and there's a lot of Catholics there.
So
how are you getting the word out about this? How are people finding out?
Well, I think
you're doing the radio interview. So
yeah, I think that's one of the things that's going to help quite a bit. It's a brand new chapter. So I think how it started was Legatus reached out to the pastors at a couple of parishes and said, hey, do you have any business leaders that would be interested in Legatus? And then they contacted us and had the first session. So I think what we should do to the people listening today is if you have any interest, if you feel like you would benefit from, I think, connectivity with other Catholic business leaders, so you, like you said earlier, you could connect your faith, your family, and your business experiences into one and learn from others. Probably the best way to do is to reach out to legatus.org. That's their website. And from there, you can drill down to the one that's closest to you, because I know we have a broad audience here. So those that are in, you know, Parker County could join the Fort Worth chapter. There's the Dallas chapter that people probably south here could do. And then, of course, the North Dallas chapter, that's probably the best thing to do is to... going online, you can learn more about whether you think this is right for you or not. The resources that you'll see that they offer, they have medical benefits, they have travel benefits, they have annual conferences and events that you can attend as well, too. So there's just more than what we've even talked about that's beneficial to people who might be interested in joining the group.
I know there's a question that many people have is like, well, that sounds really interesting, but I don't know if I qualify.
Yeah.
It's almost like this. I don't want to find out that I remember years ago, somebody said, Dave, you know, you qualify for Legatus, you know, you're the, you know, general manager of the Catholic radio. And I said, I don't think I do. And it turned out I didn't, you know, I actually, but that's okay. I mean, I get to weasel my way into meetings anyways, you know, through Catholic radio. So I've been to a lot of Legatus meetings, but I'm not an official member. So what would somebody, if they are curious, like, you know, do I even qualify for this?
Yeah.
How would they find out?
Well, to your point, I think that, you know, the number one requirement is you must be Catholic, a practicing Catholic. And of course, that's how they wanted to start this thing off. And you know if you are or not, and I'm sure if you don't, you can ask your parish priest and he'll tell you whether you are or not. But title-wise, I don't think titles as important as the broad reach, right?
Yeah.
So one of the minimum requirements are, as they said, that if you manage, and these are not all-inclusive, they're one of these requirements. But if you manage 40 employees with a total payroll of like $1.5 million, you qualify. If you run a business unit that does $10 million a year in revenues, you qualify. And if you like work for financial services business and you've got $2 million in commissional revenue a year that you spread amongst your organization, you qualify as well, too. I think the best thing to do is just inquire. You fill out an application. They do an assessment. In our group, we have people that have owned businesses worth hundreds of millions of dollars, and we've got people that are running businesses that are like car wash businesses and stuff, but they have enough employees and enough reach.
And so, in your case, you're retired, so you may not have those people still working for you, but it gets kind of retroactive.
What have you done in your life?
And
I think they also, you know, they know once we retire from positions like that, we want to give back. I think Tom Monahan's a great example, right? A man who sold his business and then immediately wanted to do something for the church, started Legatus in 87 when he was still owner of the Detroit Tigers and pizza, you know, Domino's Pizza. But since then, his outreach has been amazing. So,
yeah, my guest is Greg Deiter. He is a Legatus member with the Developing North Dallas chapter. And as Greg mentioned, there are other chapters. If you're interested in it, legatus.org is the website. And the big news is that the North Dallas Legatus chapter says it's in development, but you guys are going. I mean, you've had meetings. You've got a meeting next week.
Yeah, we anticipate that. It's Tom Monahan always likes to come around, and when they charter a new group.
Has he been around yet?
He'll be around. We're hoping February we'll have the number of members that we need in order to charter. So within a year, within 10 months, we'll be chartered, we think.
And are you the one that books the speakers? Is that
that's my responsibility going forward. Yeah. Okay. So and I thought when he asked me whether I wanted to do this or not, I says, well, I know a few speakers, but I'm going to run out of speakers in 3 years or something like that. No, there's an entire network of speakers that Legatus has, and they basically, I wouldn't say they do a circuit, but you get a list of people that have gone to, like, I'll just say the Houston chapter, the Austin chapter, the chapter in Kansas City or St. Louis or whatever, or Colorado Springs or Denver. You find people that have been, you know, they'll say this was a well-received person. You ought to contact them. So my job will be to contact that speaker and find a nice slot for them to come in and fix. And you'll be on my list, Dave, if somebody come in and talk to us.
Oh,
sometime.
Well, I appreciate that.
Yeah, no, it's fascinating. So.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And so, if somebody is interested in joining, they just go to that website.
That's the best place to get started. Yeah, and then from there, what you'll do, it'll then direct you towards find the chapter closest to where you are, and then it'll allow you to outreach that way. I don't know, another way to do it would be to contact myself if they want to do that, and I can direct them in the right place if they want to do that.
Yeah, and what was when you were, you know, working at Boeing, and I know you said you were a lot of traveling. Did you find it challenging to incorporate your faith into your job? Because obviously, it can't always be really overt. I mean, my job, it could be overt because we're in Catholic radio. But when you're working for a big corporation like that, what was the challenge of being in a leadership position, being Catholic, but going around proselytizing or what was it like to live out your faith?
Yeah, I mean, so it didn't change my values and how I treated people and how I operated and how I managed and how I led. That didn't change that. But it changed the tone that I could have at work and how I could talk and statements I could make as well, too. Back in the day, I remember getting in trouble with our HR department a couple of times about talking too broadly about my faith or things like that, where somebody was offended and they come back and said, you really can't, you know, mention the fact that you're Catholic, because then people will think, well, he's not going to pay attention to me unless I'm Catholic as well, too. So you try to avoid those sayings. And these are conversations I've had with younger people, because they've asked me that same question. How do you deal with that? And I said, you just stick true to what drives you. And in your business, it depends whether you're a publicly traded business or a privately owned business, how much you can say. And so I think that's the challenge. And of course, trying to solve that problem on your own is difficult. But if you're a young manager or a young leader right now going through that trouble, like I said, there's just a local chapter can help that. But there's forums and chat rooms that you can ask these questions. And other members from across the nation can jump in and give you their experiences, their feedback, and their approach that they took. So I think that, to me, would be one of the big reasons to join Legatus if you're a current business runner, leader, owner, would be I'm struggling with how do I bring my faith to the business and to the community. These folks can help quite a bit just by asking the question.
You know, you talk about Tom Monahan wanting to give back, and it sounds like that's your story as well. As I listed all those groups you're involved in, I mean, pretty much everything you're doing is faith-based, isn't it? I mean, you are deeply entrenched in giving back to the local Catholic Church.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, I tell my wife and I tell my God the same thing. When I was working in business, I was really just focused on being a provider, making sure I did the best so I could raise my family and provide for them. Then when I got closer to retirement, I realized I sacrificed a lot of opportunities, and I didn't want that to go to waste when I retired. So before I retired, I started moving towards volunteering to the church. And then since retirement, it's been probably the most, I think, rewarding thing in my life. And Tom will tell you the same thing, that he probably running the pizza company and running the baseball team was fun. He had a good time at it, but this is rewarding because you know you're bringing people to the faith. You're trying to help people that struggle with their faith. You're using your financial, your time, your talent to help organizations that are trying to evangelize in Jesus Christ. So I think that, to me, has been part of the reason why I enjoyed what I've done and why I joined Legatus is I want to be around those like-minded people.
Yeah.
And I really want to be around couples that think that way as well, too, so I can bring my wife into that community and not just, you know, a male-based community, but a couple-based community.
Yeah, and I guess that's also important to say is that this isn't just a male group. I mean, if a lady is a...
Well, our president of our chapter is a very successful business leader. Right?
And spouses.
And her spouse was a successful business leader. We have very strong leaders, both female and male, in our organization. So, and I think we appreciate that behind every successful business leader is a successful spouse as well, too, whether it be male or female.
Yeah. Well, Greg Deiter, thank you very much. Legatus member of the Developing North Dallas chapter. And I really appreciate Legatus reaching out to me to do this interview. It's great to see you. I mean, I know we have been connected kind of informally through the North Texas, the Catholic Brothers for Christ. And I love St. Francis Parish and Father Rudy, and did a broadcast out there recently.
From
the Gubbios.
Awesome. Well, thank you for loving our parish. We love you up there as well, too, Dave.
And our station, the City of License, is Frisco. So I often say, hey, this is our parish.
I hear it every morning.
For Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. So, Greg Deiter, thank you very much. God bless you. And thanks for all you do to give back to the Catholic community, because I already listed all the things you're doing, and then to add one more to Legatus and to give back in that way, we really appreciate it so much. And please pray for Legatus members, because these are the leaders in our community, and like I mentioned before, they have a lot of responsibility, and they need our prayer support as well. So that is going to do it. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and if you have suggestions for a future interview of the week, you can contact me directly, DavePalmer@grnonline.com, DavePalmer@grnonline.com. And the website to learn about Legatus, if you're just curious or if you think you would like to get involved in the North Dallas chapter or any of the other chapters around town, legatus.org, LEGATUS.org. It's a Latin word. It means something. Look that up. Legatus.org is the website. Greg, thanks again.
Thank you, Dave.
And thanks again to Thistle. God bless you, and thanks everybody for listening today.
With praise and thanksgiving to Almighty God, the Diocese of Dallas announces the transitional diaconate ordination of Mr. Jeremy Manis and Mr. Nicholas Weiss. All listeners are cordially invited to attend the ordination mass, which will take place on Saturday, December 20th from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the National Shrine Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe in Dallas. Support Jeremy and Nicholas during this time of great joy as they journey toward the priesthood. Visit DallasCatholic.org for more information.
Thank you for joining us for the North Texas Interview of the Week here on the Guadalupe Radio Network, broadcasting on 9:10 a.m. in the east and 11:40 a.m. in the west. And we are just so grateful. Also on the GRN app and on our live stream at grnonline.com. This is something we do twice a week on Saturdays during the 3 o'clock hour. They're always pre-recorded. They're never live. And it's so eclectic, so many great topics. And I want to thank several people. I want to thank Martin Arizmendi and Patty Medrano, our Spanish team, because they had a wonderful priest by the name of Father Martin Scott in studio about a week ago doing a Spanish interview. And Father Martin is from Peru and has a religious order community called Servants of the Divine Mercy. And Martin said, hey, Father, Martin speaks English. You ought to do an interview with him. And so sure enough, here we are. Father Martin Scott is in studio, and I'll formally introduce him and bring him into the conversation in a moment. I also want to thank Veronica, who is his host here in North Texas. She's from Prince of Peace Parish in Plano. And so let me tell you about Father Martin Scott, and then we'll get into his really fascinating story. Father Martin Scott attended Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland. In May of 1988, he was ordained a diocesan priest for the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., and for the next 15 years, he was assigned to several parishes in the diocese. In 2003, he was granted permission to from the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., to move to Peru with all of his priestly faculties. And he is a native of Peru, so this wasn't too much of a stretch for him. He was born there. Father Scott is the founder of the religious community called Servants of the Divine Mercy, as I mentioned, in Chosica, Peru. He's a missionary priest whose religious community lives entirely off of divine providence. And we're going to give you an opportunity at the end of this interview to donate and support his ministry. The charism of his religious community life is based on the messages concerning our Lord's infinite divine mercy given to Saint Maria Faustina Kowalska. Of course, we're all familiar with the wonderful Saint Faustina. So having said that, Father Martin, thank you for being here. Great to see you.
Thank you so much. This is a tremendous blessing for me.
So let's go back to the beginning, because not the beginning of the world, the beginning of your beginning, because that's really part of your story.
Definitely.
You're a twin. Can you tell us that story?
Yes. My mother, we were in total seven children. My mother, before we were born, she was going to have her tubes tied, because she had almost died twice giving birth. So her confessor told her, my daughter, I think you should seriously consider having tubal ligation, because you could leave your husband,
a widower,
and your children, orphaned.
Motherless, yeah.
So my mother was accepted what the doctor was saying, and she was on the operating table to have her tubal ligation. And she heard Jesus' voice audibly speak to her, and he told her very directly, do not have this operation. So I've had an operation on my knees, so, you know, when you're going to be operated, it's not a time to discuss with the doctor. So I just said...
She's there getting...
My mother said to him, doctor, please do not do the tubal ligation. And he said, what brings you to say that? And my mother said, because I know it is not the will of God. So they did some other procedure, and 4 months after the tubal, after the operation, my mother conceived us.
Praise God.
Praise God is right.
So
okay?
Jesus was...
like Jesus saying, the doctors told you can have one other child, I'm going to send you two.
Yeah.
So we were born very small. I weighed a little bit more than a kilogram. And my brother weighed 50 grams more than me.
That's about 2 pounds?
2.2 pounds.
That's almost just like barely making it, right?
Precisely. We were baptized an hour after being born. I think about it, and, you know, as a priest, I say, my gosh, God really had a plan for us, definitely.
Yeah.
You know, obviously, you know, we're both founders of religious communities. So we were in the hospital 2.5 months. After 2.5 months, we were taken home. My father took us home in an Easter basket. That's how small we were.
You're like little eggs.
Yeah. No, exactly. So he put us on the dining room table, and he announced to the family, okay, the twins are here. So we gave my mother a lot of work to feed us. We were fed with,
a
tube.
Like
an eyedropper.
Yes.
Fed us with it. She put the milk in the eyedropper, and she said it would take us more than an hour to consume the contents of milk of one eyedropper.
Wow, because you were so tiny, right? Yeah.
And my mother's sister, my Aunt Tula, she was a wonderful aunt. She lived with us with my grandmother. She would privately, like, and behind my mother's back, you know, move her finger to see if we could see, you know. And I think of my story, you know, and when, like up to the age of 10, 11, our birthday, January 26th, our parents would tell us the story. So I know it very well.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did that make you really feel like God had a special task for you?
As I was, you know, I always wanted to get married. The love of my life was a girl from Chile that I met in the university. But the truth is, I mean, I really questioned myself, like saying, God must have a plan for me.
Yeah.
I mean, when I really, you know, sat down and thought about it, I said, if God saved us miraculously, we were not to have survived. God must have a plan.
You and your brother are identical twins?
Yes, but I mean, he's a little bit taller than I am, much yeah. better looking than me.
Can't imagine that, looking at you. So were y'all always close?
We're very close, but I can say it was a little bit dysfunctional.
Yeah.
I was too emotionally dependent on him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? In my heart, I wanted just to make my brother happy. Okay? Now, obviously, by the grace of God, nothing sinful or anything like that. But I remember in the seminary, that's why we have to listen. God speaks to us in different ways. When we're in the seminary, he also went to Mount St. Mary's Seminary in Emmitsburg, Maryland. You know, I was a year ahead of him academically because I had finished my degree. I got my degree in business, finance, economics. So I have the degree, but I never used it, okay? Because mm-hmm. God got me to the priesthood, okay? Thank God, okay? But every year at the end of my yearly evaluation, and it was because that's when we found out if we were allowed to go to the next year.
Yeah.
So I went first. So my brother always was there waiting for me. So he would say to me, well, what did they tell you? Are you going to the next year? I said, yes. Oh, I said, good, good. And then he would ask me, he said, what else did they say to you? This is where I was deaf to God's voice. Because they would say to me, oh, you know these formation directors. They say that we depend too much on each other.
Mm.
And then we would say to each other, what do they know? Okay, they're not twins. Guess what? They were right.
Yeah.
They were right.
Yeah. Now, the fact that you both decided to go to the same seminary.
Right. The truth is, I went to a seminary in Florida. That's where I went first, theology.
Why did you come to America?
Because of my father's job. My father worked for the Inter-American Development Bank.
Okay.
He was a public accountant.
Yeah.
That's why. Why do we come? The truth is, why do we come to America? Because it was God's will.
Yeah, yeah. And as I mentioned in the bio, the first 15 years or so of your priesthood were in America.
I was in the Archdiocese of Washington as a diocesan priest.
Yeah.
But I always felt in my heart deep inside that God would be calling me to be a religious.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? I made some like week-long experiences, okay, in Father Benedict Groeschel's community in New York.
The CFRs? Yeah.
Yes, it's yeah. But they told me, we feel you have a calling to be a religious, but not to our community.
Okay.
And then I went to visit the Capuchins in Washington, D.C.
So was that difficult to leave the diocesan priesthood and go into religious life? Is that a normal thing, or does that take some canon law? Or I mean, how does that, no, how does
obviously
that work
you have
out?
To get you have to get permission
for that. Yeah.
Yes, from the archdiocese, you know, and the archbishop has to approve it, you know.
Yeah.
So I just didn't leave, pack up my bags and left. No.
Yeah, right.
No, you know, in the Roman Catholic faith, obedience is very important.
And then you ended up after discerning out of the CFRs,
sure.
And then
yes, look, yeah, that
then
didn't
you, you decided you start your own order.
Right. Yeah. That was a shock. Because one day I had been ordained 10 years and I was praying I've always prayed many hours before the Eucharist. And I asked the Lord, Jesus, the ideal of becoming a religious does not leave my heart. So what is the name of the community that you want me to join? He was silent. Silent. Okay? But what opened up the doors to his message was, and direction was, well, Jesus, of course, this is in Spanish. So I'm trying to translate. Okay? Above all, the only thing that I want is your will.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I felt the Holy Spirit come upon me very strongly, and I heard in my heart, return to Peru. That part didn't really surprise me. And found a new religious family.
Okay.
And I was shocked. I said, okay, what? You know, that wasn't in my plans.
Yeah.
And I said, the only thing I could say was, well, what will be the name of this new religious family? And he said, Siervos de la Divina Misericordia, Servants of Divine Mercy.
So that all came to you in prayer?
Oh, very much. Oh, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Not an audible voice, but...
No, I've only heard his voice audibly once. Okay? He has the sweetest voice.
And when was that?
I was praying with my community in Peru, and I heard him whisper, but it was like talking to my ear.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, little one, you're falling asleep. But his Spanish, it sounded to me as a Peruvian, like a, from Spain.
Yeah.
But it was definitely, it was his voice. And he was very sweet. He said in Spanish, pequeño te estás quedando dormido. You, little one, you are falling asleep in prayer.
Mm.
Okay?
Wake up.
Yeah, wake up. Yeah, but he didn't say he didn't wake up. He was just like that. And then, I mean, his voice is like, I can't even describe it, how sweet. The love. Okay?
So once you receive that word in prayer and now you got your marching orders, what do you do next?
Okay, well, the marching orders came a few years later because they wanted to test it, the other side of Washington, which is true, I can understand. But I had to talk three times. They sent me to a very well-known priest in the Diocese of Arlington, Virginia. He's a very holy man, very prayerful. So they, then Archbishop of Washington, unfortunately, you know, Cardinal McCarrick.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He sent me three times to talk to him. So the first time I talked to him, he said, oh, I believe you 100%. And then he said to me, because he had to write a letter to the Archbishop expressing his, what he thought of this. And then he said, okay, you already convinced me, God already convinced me that this is from God. He said, what are we talk about the next time? So I still went three times. Very wonderful. It was very wonderful, you know. But God, the truth, this is what comes to mind. And I want to tell our listeners this. The most important thing in life is to do the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
To know God, to love God, and to really want His will. And He will let us know what it is. And then obviously, and God is faithful. God is so faithful. I can't even express to you how faithful He is.
Yeah.
Like one time I was before the Eucharist praying with my community. I don't tell them about the financial situation. Okay. And I said, you know, Jesus, I don't know if I, because we help a lot the poor. I said, Jesus, I don't know if we have enough money to pay the poor and to pay our workers in 2 days.
Yeah.
Suddenly, in that hour that I had that holy hour, somebody transferred $5,000 to our account.
Oh, really? Right then?
Yes.
Yeah.
And that, you know, nobody knew our situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
And this person who did it lives in Australia.
Really? So, direct answer to prayer.
Definitely. That comes many times. God is so faithful.
Mm.
God is so faithful.
Yeah. Amen.
And I'm not exaggerating.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to, you know, again, let's go ahead and mention it once now. And then at the end, if people want to support your religious order and what you're doing in Peru, we haven't really got into a whole lot of what you're doing, but we will. We've got 10 more minutes remaining. But okay. Is there a website or how do people?
Yeah, we have a website. It's Divine Mercy Corp, CORP.org.
Okay. So okay. Divine Mercy, CORP.org. And yes. You can learn about the order there.
Yes, yes, yes. And then how to donate, you know. And obviously, all donations are tax deductible.
And so, Servants of Divine Mercy, what is the day-to-day,
okay.
You know, what do you do?
Okay. First of all, we evangelize. We work with the poor. All of our priests help out in parishes. You know, I mean, they live with the community, but they help out in parishes.
How many priests do you have?
Okay, we are 8 priests now, soon to be 9 because our deacon, okay, who has been a deacon for a year, this is beautiful. He's going to be ordained on December 9th.
Oh,
at 4 p.m.
Praise God. And that's a significant day, isn't it?
Yes,
that?
Definitely.
Was that the day that Our Lady first appeared to Juan Diego? Or I know the 12th is Feast of Our Lady Guadalupe, but yeah, something happened on the 9th, a few days before that anyways.
But the thing is, for example, he just wrote me a long WhatsApp, and he had this dream. He said it was like real life, and he saw all of his deceased relatives so happy because he was going to be ordained a priest.
Oh, really?
Even with tears in their eyes. And he named different relatives. And I wrote him back. I said, Brother Agustin, they're telling you that they're praying for you.
Mm.
And you can always count on their prayers. It was incredible. He saw all, yeah. He said, Father, I saw relatives of mine that he got to know in real life, and then he saw other generations that he never met, like a big crowd.
Yeah.
And I think that's not just for Brother Hussein, that's for us too.
Yeah, yeah. That praise
we
God.
We are never alone, and heaven is very faithful.
How poor is the area that you're working in? Is it and
yes, it's poor. Okay, I mean, it would be very poor compared to the United States. Okay, we help out a lot of people.
And then, how do you find the vocations? You mentioned the ninth one is coming.
Yes,
with this deacon.
To be honest with you. It's hard to get good vocations.
Yeah.
Okay? Because we don't know. I have to, when people, first of all, we already have a list of families that we help out every month. Okay? If somebody comes from the street asking for money, we just give them food.
Okay.
Because I don't know what they're going to do with their food, with the money. So we give out food, okay? But then we have a long list of people, families, that we help out. For example, our Blessed Mother literally in person sent a poor woman in Peru. She was raped and she kept the child to us.
Mm.
So this girl is from the high Andes. So I can tell just by the way she talks, okay? And she said, Father, I was coming to the United States. I said, look, I can't meet you right now. But I can meet you in a week. And I gave her an appointment. So she came with her son. And she told me, I said, well, how did you find out about it? It's not like, like we're the Franciscans or the, okay? And I'm not that well known in Peru. Just, I was in the diocese, yes. And she said, Father, I was with my adoptive mother in the hospital. My mother was dying of cancer. And a very beautiful woman came up to me, dressed like in our time, and she said, you have to meet Father Martin Scott. He's going to help you out.
Mm.
She gave him my address. She said, Father, she spoke about you like if she knew you for years. Okay? With such detail, told her our address, how to get to our convent. I mean, incredible. And then we both came to the realization that it was a Blessed Mother. Mm. But now, I mean, this is 4 or 5 years later, Our Lady comes to her, visits her.
Wow. Do you have religious sisters in your order?
No, we did, but it didn't work out.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if I could, I want to go back. Tell us about your brother, because you told us a story about your mom and, not getting the tubal ligation, and then she gives birth to the two of you and how close you were. What is he doing now?
My brother is also the founder of a religious community. They were founded in Tampa, Florida. Okay, they're called the Family of Jesus. Now their community is in a city in the Peruvian jungle called Puerto Maldonado, like 3 hours away from the Brazilian border.
Okay. And what brings you to the United States this week?
I've been here almost a month, okay?
Yeah.
Giving talks, retreats.
Okay.
Yeah, that's how we live. We live totally on that.
Just in Texas, or are you traveling around?
Oh, no, I travel. No, but this time it's been to Texas, San Antonio, and Dallas.
Okay. And this is obviously at the invitation of bishops and priests.
Of course.
And how has that been, and where have you been here in the Dallas Diocese? Which parishes
I don't know the parishes here. That's the honest truth.
Okay.
Okay. I was in a parish yesterday. St. Mark's.
St. Mark's in Plano? Okay. Oh, okay.
Tomorrow it will be at St. Joseph's.
Yeah, now.
They just take me.
Yeah, right, wherever you go. And what's your basic message that you tell people? If you have,
if you would ask me, yes, I talk about God's mercy, but I mention that all of us are called to holiness.
Yeah. And, I'm glad you mentioned the thing about mercy, because we really haven't talked about that specifically. And that's the whole charism. So speak about
God's mercy. I think I'm going to say in very human, okay, if you ask me, how would you describe God's mercy? This isn't very theological, but this is how I feel it in my heart. Honestly.
A kiss.
Okay?
Yeah.
No, kisses.
Kisses, yeah.
An unceasing number of kisses. God smothering us in his love. That's his mercy. Mm. Okay? That's his mercy. But God is absolute truth. So that's on one side is God's spectacular divine mercy. The other side of the coin is absolute truth about us.
Yeah.
Okay? That, in other words, God doesn't make light of sin. God does not make light of a life of moral disorder that we have so much now. So in his, God allows trials, difficulties. If we're not listening to him or the church, okay, guess what? He's going to get our attention because ultimately God, we were created for heaven. That is the absolute truth. We were created for heaven. Okay, and God wants us in heaven as soon as possible. Okay, to minimize that, or say like, oh God, you know, God loves me and the people, you know, in this country, not so much in Peru, but in this country, unfortunately, like when communion time comes at Mass, everyone gets up.
Yeah.
We don't see that in Peru. In Peru, the people who know that they're in sin, they do not get up for communion. Okay, so in this country they do. I'm not saying everyone is going up is in mortal sin, but and I find this out when I hear confessions.
It's hard to believe that 98% of the people are, you know, in a state of grace. So you're saying people here are not discerning well enough, perhaps,
right,
whether they should be receiving.
And I have to tell them,
yeah,
the Holy Spirit guides me very much in the sacrament of confession.
Well, Father, we are just about out of time. Thank you very much, and thank you also to Veronica for bringing him here and on one of his stops while he's here. I just want to remind you, my guest is Father Martin Scott, and he is a native of Peru, and you heard about this amazing birth story with him and his twin brother. And if you would like to support the Servants of the Divine Mercy, the website is divinemercycorp.org, divinemercycorp.org. And we're out of time, but take 30 seconds. What are the biggest needs right now, if you would, Father?
Just the upkeep of the convent. It's a big convent.
Yeah.
Okay. We have four workers. We help out the poor. Everything.
Yeah.
Okay. We never have so much money that we don't know what to do with it.
Right, right. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you very much,
Thank
Father.
You so
and,
much for having me here.
Can you give a quick blessing?
Okay. May Almighty God bless all of you, who is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. May our Blessed Mother wrap you in her motherly mantle. And may Jesus.
Thanks for listening to KATH 910 AM, Frisco, Dallas, Fort Worth. Catholic radio for your soul on the Guadalupe Radio Network in North Texas. Heard also at grnonline.com and on your smartphone.
Christ established an infallible church to tell us so.